Right now, let's hear from our NFL insider, Jason LaCanfora.
NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, brought to you by Shank Sports Grill. Monday night, it's the Giants and Eagles. Enter to win a trip to see Seattle versus LA. Shank South and the newly renovated Shank's Crowfoot, your home for the NFL.
And Jason joins us now from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com with some breaking news in the NFL world. The Carolina Panthers have fired head coach Ron Rivera. Your reaction to this news today, Jason?
You know, anytime, a coach who's been around that long, who's achieved that level of stature, been to a Super Bowl, done some nice things, And the let go in November or early December, it's a little jarring on the surface, kind of like Mike McCarthy a year ago with the Packers, but it also was a fait accompli. And
right.
By October of last year, we were talking, and I'm like, look, it's over in Green Bay. They'll get around to making that move whenever, but trust me, there's too many fractured relationships and too many people pulling in different directions, and they will be having a new coach. It's just a matter of when. And in Carolina, it wasn't so much personality conflicts or issues between quarterback and coach. It was just, would David Tepper, after spending $2.3 billion for that team and buying it under duress, remember, at a time where the former owner Jerry Richardson's being investigated for sexual impropriety and using racial slurs, and there was a lot going on there. Like, he didn't spend $2.3 billion cash to sit on his hands forever, you know? And as much as Ron Rivera had done some good things in the league, Tepper was telling his associates then, I'm not sure that I'm going to click with this guy. I'm not sure that he's going to fit the model that I want for a guy I'm going to pay $9 million a year to for the next 10 years. And sure enough, he wasn't. And it was pretty obvious at this point last year, and he thought about making a move last year when the bottom fell out in the second half of the season and decided to give him one more year. But you lose a game like that to Washington, Rivera's side of the ball, giving up 250 yards rushing to a terrible team at home with the season on the line. If you're David Tepper, you say, I think I've waited long enough. And Ron, you go get a head jump, get a jump start on looking for your next coach, your next job, and we'll get a head start looking at our next coach. Because you're not going to keep Rivera around as a lame duck, And so you're either doing one of two things, parting of the ways or giving him a big boy extension. And he's going to get that big boy money. It's just not going to be in Carolina.
What happened in Carolina this year? All of a sudden, things looked really promising for them after Cam Newton went down and Kyle Allen took over at quarterback. And then the last number of weeks, it's gone completely off the rails.
It did. I mean, there was a stretch of games where I think a three-week span where Allen threw nine interceptions and had a couple fumbles, and that didn't help things. You can only ride Christian McCaffrey so much. He can only touch the ball so much. And defensively, they have slipped again. They just have. Against the run and in the secondary, they have had some issues, and that's really where Tepper wanted to see major strides made after last season. And there's some individual talent there. I thought they did a good job to address pass rusher, and some of those guys have gotten hurt, and that stuff happens. But the offensive line still is not good enough, and when you're juggling tackles, that's not a good thing, especially behind a novice quarterback. And they played some tough teams as well. The NFC is no joke this year. But you got to take care of business against a team like Washington when you're literally, you lose that game, you go to 5-7, forget about it. And I think also with Tepper, it's the issue of the business side of things. And these guys have, their last two home games, they've had everything on the line. And the stands, there's been a lot of empty seats. And people, and even 2 weeks ago, it was a gorgeous day in Carolina, and people were finding reasons not to go to the football game with everything on the line. I think that really resonated with the owner also.
Final thought on this. Does Ron Rivera coach next season in the NFL, do you think?
I suspect he does. I don't know that he needs a year to recharge his batteries. I think he's going to look at the rest of this coaching class and the lack of pedigree from a lot of them, and the lack of those, there's not two or three it coordinators who, you know, owners are already lusting after. And I think we're going to see at least 8 openings, and it might end up being double digits. And I think Ron Rivera is going to, you know, sit back with his agent and say, you know what, like, there might be a bidding war for my services here. You know, like, we might do even better than we thought. We don't have to take any job, and we won't take, you know, a lesser job. But there could be some things that uniquely appeal to him. So I think he does. I think he hops back in.
With Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. It's funny, we have this coaching move made today. If you're just joining us, Carolina Panthers have fired head coach Ron Rivera. And on your NFL insider piece at CBSSports.com, you were talking about how the coaching picture is starting to become a little more clear for 2020 as well, because, you know, Rivera's not going to be the only one who doesn't have a job next season.
No, I think, you know, I kind of previewed Thanksgiving as saying the three home, you know, my piece last Wednesday saying, look, these three home teams better show something here with the whole world watching, or ownership who's already inclined to make change is probably going to cement that even further. And you know, look, we all know Dallas, Jason Garrett better at least get to a championship game or he's out. And I don't think a lot of people are looking at Dallas and saying, yeah, that's a team that can run the gauntlet in the NFC. You know, I don't know what Arthur Blank's waiting for in Atlanta. I suspect the next loss for Dan Quinn will be his last, because at this point now you got two owners already out there. And if you do want a college coach, if you do want to try something, you know, sexy in the college ranks, and you are competing with other teams, you might as well get your hat in the ring. But Dan Quinn, he won't be back. It's just a matter of when he gets let go. And then I think Matt Patricia is in a real dire situation there in Detroit as well. You know, Jacksonville with that terrible loss over the weekend, and Nick Foles, you know, just being inept, and them getting, you know, I mean, they got run over by the Bucs. That thing has been over for a while, and that just further crystallized it. You know, the Giants have lost now 8 in a row. I mean, come on. I don't know how tenable it's going to be to think you're bringing Shermer back, no matter how much ownership might not want to keep making coaching changes every couple of years. You know, that's a really bad football team right now. We know Washington is already open. I feel like there's another scenario, something else from this weekend where I kind of watched it and was like, that one's over. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's a half dozen right now that I would put in Sharpie. And then another 6 that I would put in pencil. And of those other 6, I bet you at least 3 more of them happen.
Now tell me about – now this guy I don't think has really been in danger of losing his job at very many stretches during his tenure in Pittsburgh. But you've really appreciated the job that Mike Tomlin's done with the Steelers this year. They're 7-5 now.
Yeah, I mean, he just pushes all the right buttons. I mean, you go back to how people were wanting to run him out of town at the end of last year with Le'Veon Bell, you know, throwing bombs on his way out, and Antonio Brown really trying to wreck the franchise on the way out. You know, you have a difficult offseason. He only gets a 1-year extension, which a lot of people found odd. The GM doesn't sign an extension at all. So people are like, okay, like, could be something up there. That's unusual. That's not the Rooney way. And then you lose your quarterback 6 quarters into the season. People were destroying them for the Minka Fitzpatrick trade. Not me. I pretty strongly supportive of it from the get-go. And like, no, that's not going to be a top 10 pick. But there were a lot of people, you know, going crazy about that. Juju's never really gotten going all year. Connor's never really been healthy all year. You know, you go into this game against Cleveland, your season's on the line, you decide to roll the dice with Duck Hodges instead of your recent third-round pick at quarterback, you fall behind 10-0, you don't have Juju, you don't have Connor, you don't have your Pro Bowl center, who's still suspended, Pouncey. You're down 10-0, it looks like you might get boat raced, and then you just beat the snot out of Cleveland for the next 3 quarters. In a game that was highly charged and could have gotten out of control, but never did, and the Steelers didn't beat themselves, and they didn't melt down and make some of the mistakes that the Browns did. I mean, at 3 or 4 different points this year, that season could have gone off the rails, and yet here they are controlling their own destiny for a playoff spot. So now I think you have to, you know, you have to applaud what they've done and how they've done it. And look, they're winning with defense, and that's Tomlin's side of the ball. And, you know, I know his buddy, you know, Keith Butler's got the defensive coordinator title. Trust me, Mike Tomlin is intimately involved with that defense, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's calling that defense more often than not. And he's certainly making adjustments at halftime and changing some things around, and that's kudos to them, man. That they have really staved off a lot of adversity. And while, look, I don't think they have the offense to do a whole lot come January, once you're in, you never know.
He's Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. What do we make of Monday Night Football? An impressive and a pretty entertaining game between Seattle and Minnesota. The Seahawks prevail 37-30.
At the end, it kind of was what I thought it would be, which is this is the kind of game that Russell Wilson somehow wins, right? And this is the kind of game that Kirk Cousins somehow loses. And it wasn't, by any stretch, all on Cousins. I mean, even the late interception, what a play by the defensive back. And, I mean, he's got it pretty much in Diggs' hands. I thought Cousins showed a lot of resiliency. You know, Rudolph makes a heck of a play for him. But, look, they didn't have Adam Thielen, and they lost Dalvin Cook, you know, fairly early in the game. And they kept counterpunching even when you thought at one point the game was going to go completely in the other direction. I have some issues with Mike Zimmer's defense. And they're not looking quite as airtight as they did in, say, late September, early October. And that's if you can run on them like that, that's a big problem. I know Seattle's up there with Baltimore in terms of teams that really run the ball. You know, San Francisco better than most. You know, but the problem for Mike Zimmer is some of those teams, you know, Green Bay, Seattle, San Francisco, are the kind of teams they might be facing in the playoffs. You know, assuming they hold on to that wild card, and I think they will, and they're not out of it, you know, for the division title either. But I'm just very impressed with Seattle. They take care of business at home. You know, they get their games kind of get a little goofy, and there's times where you're wondering exactly why aren't you going for it on fourth and one, and don't you realize you have Russell Wilson, and man, you know, you don't really need to punt there, but you can't argue with the results. Some of these games get closer and weirder than they probably should, but Seattle keeps prevailing, and I think they've you know, the defense has gotten, I mean, last night it wasn't by any means lights out, but I think it's certainly improved along the way. They're going to be a tough out, you know. They are going to be a tough out, and now they control their fate in that division. And I know they lost to the Saints, so they don't have that tiebreaker.
Right.
But the Saints have a bunch of tough games to play too. So it'll be really interesting to see who gets the one seed in the NFC, because when you're talking about places like Seattle and New Orleans, I mean, those are two of the more difficult places to play in the league.
What did we learn about the Baltimore Ravens? Speaking of Seattle, they're in that race now with San Fran in the NFC West. Well, a big reason why they're tied is because San Fran couldn't beat the Ravens. What did we learn about Baltimore in that win?
I mean, everybody's talking about the schedule that, you know, some of these teams have been facing lately, and, you know, San Francisco's playing all these tough games, and now New England's playing all these tough games. Well, you know what? Baltimore's had a pretty tough stretch. I mean, nobody beat New England until they beat them. Not many people go to Seattle and do what Baltimore did, you know, to Seattle. You know, Houston, they just absolutely destroyed them. And while the 49ers game wasn't anything close to a blowout, I think it was big for them to win a backyard brawl. You know, to know that, you know what, okay, for about seven straight weeks, we've pretty much had our thumb on, you know, on people's, you know, neck by halftime. That certainly wasn't the case on Sunday. It was going to be one of those games where whoever held the ball last, you know, probably wins. And when you Justin Tucker's your kicker, you got to favor that team. You know, ugly conditions, kind of a weird day. I'd love to see those two teams play again in perfect weather in Miami, you know, in a neutral site. I think it'd be a heck of a throwback Super Bowl. But, yeah, look, that was a big statement by Baltimore. They've played a lot of tough games here, a lot of really good teams. And that you can hold the ball for 6 minutes and 30 seconds, kill the clock, and set up the best kicker in the world. You know, you're a pretty good football team, especially against that defense. But San Francisco showed me a lot, too. I mean, I was very impressed with San Francisco. For their front four to be able to wreak that kind of havoc against a scheme, you know, as difficult to defend as Baltimore's, and for San Francisco to keep running that outside zone relentlessly when they had the ball, and for Baltimore to have no answers for it. I think both teams did a lot that they can be proud of. I thought Garoppolo managed the game well, and Lamar was a star, but boy, he had to really work for that 100 yards against that defense. So, hats off to both teams. They both seem worthy of the highest heights, but playoffs is a whole different animal. We'll see.
Final thought. Week 14 starts on Thursday with a couple of 6-6 teams. Chicago, I guess you can squint and see. I guess they're still somewhat playoff relevant, but the more probably not. The more interesting one is Dallas, though. They've got a division lead, but they're 6-6, and I don't know what to make of the Cowboys. So, what do you make of Dallas as they go into this game against the Bears?
I think this is just who they are. They're a middling team who, when everything falls into place and they put everything together, can kind of fool you into thinking, this guy did that and this guy did that. And they do have some individual talent, but just collectively as a team, they never really struck me in the last 20 years, really, of being a team that meets expectations, of being a team that's particularly resilient. They'll beat really bad teams, they'll lose to really good teams, and they'll go 500 against, everybody else who's like them. This game is a toss-up to me. Mitch Trubisky's just – I just – come on, man. It's great. He had a really good half against the Lions. Okay, let's see when he had – see if he can sustain it. I don't think he can. And the Bears' defense is not what it was last year by any stretch either. If I had to pick this game, I would probably lean towards Dallas here. I think there's a little more on the line for them. And, I could see this being one of those games where Dak Prescott lights up the box score. It's just weird. I don't know what's going on with Dallas's run game. I mean, to be playing in that game the other day, Thanksgiving against Buffalo, who's not great against the run, and you're in a fairly close game in the third quarter, and Zeke Elliott's got 12 carries. I'm like, I don't know what's going on there sometimes. But I think both these teams are fugazi. Somebody will win this game, and now they'll be in the hunt at 7-6. Or if it's Dallas, they'll still have their division title, within reach. But I don't think – the Bears aren't going to the playoffs. And if Dallas gets in, I think they get whacked in the mouth first round.
Great stuff, as always, Jay. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Thank you, pal.
Look forward to it. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, brought to you by Shank Sports Grill. Monday night, it's the Giants and Eagles. Enter to win a trip to see Seattle versus LA. Shank South and the newly renovated Shank's Crowfoot, your home for the NFL.